Amen. Good morning. What a good morning. Thank you. As I've told you before, I don't have to tell jokes. I just have to talk about the silly things. No. She said it. Did you hear what she said? I was, had some time on Thursday, and so I drove down to Kime Lumber, which is down in Amish country, beautiful drive. We just had some time, so I needed to do several things down there and check on some things. So I get all the way down there, which it's almost an hour and a half from here, beautiful drive, and turned out to be a beautiful day. Pull in the parking lot. The parking lot's like totally empty. And there's a big truck unloading a piece of equipment to do blacktopping. You know, they're out working on the road. I'm like, well, maybe they're going to blacktop the driveway, parking lot. And I saw some other cars back in another lot. So I go back, park there. I'm like, something feels weird. Get on my phone, just barely have enough signal to pull up their website, closed on Thursday. This is odd. Like, this is a huge, huge place. And I'm like, this is odd. And then I remember something. I was talking to one of the salespeople. I'd ordered some special lumber and gone through the process. And when's it going to be delivered? And et cetera, et cetera. And he mentions in that, of course, then there's Ascension Day. And I'm like, it just kind of like Ascension Day. That's weird. Like, I'm like, Easter? Like, what, you know? I'm a pastor, okay? And I'm like, over my head. So I just kind of made a mental note of that. And all of a sudden, I start thinking. And I drove out of that parking lot, and I went just down the road to turn around, and another business was closed. I'm like, man, what the heck? What's going on down here? You know, I must not have got the memo, you know? And obviously, I didn't. I did, but I didn't notice it, you know, pay attention. And so then I see all these horse and buggies going, and people look dressed up in them and like they're coming home from church, and it's about 2 in the afternoon, and I'm like, I wonder what Ascension Day actually is, you know? So I'm always just thinking Easter, it's like they must celebrate Easter on a different day than we do, you know, that kind of thing. So at some point, Reese, did you help me look it up, Phyllis, or was it somebody else? And I don't know how this came about. I finally... the voice from the back row.
I was not around or
yeah, it was Ashley. And she reads off, she's like, Ascension Day, and she looks up, you know, on her phone. We all have phones. Why didn't I think of that? What's Ascension Day? She goes, it's 39, 40 days after Easter is Ascension Day. Now, this is really embarrassing, okay? I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. Not realizing, of course, we celebrate Easter. Jesus rose from the dead. But it's not when he ascended. He did some stuff there, up, down, you know, gets the gates of hell, the keys from hell and all this kind of stuff. But I've been teaching on Pentecost and leading up to this because I want to honor the Holy Spirit and all he does. And Ascension Day was 39, 40 days after Easter. It was when he actually ascended before their eyes. I'm like, ah, duh, I get it, you know, like, wow. And so they take that day to set aside a day of just of contemplating and, you know, appreciating the Lord, etc. I'm like, wow, these guys got me way beat. Like, wow, I'm just out running around getting lumber on Ascension Day, you know. So I realize that, and, you know, it's like slow burn. And it's like, oh, yeah, so that's right. So that was when Jesus gave them the instructions that I read out of Acts 2. And what did he tell the disciples right before he ascended? Wait for it. I know you're all supercharged. You've seen me. I'm now supernatural, raised from the dead, and I've been in and out of walls and buildings and whatever, appearing to you on the beaches and wherever. I'm Jesus the Christ. You know, I'm the phenomenal one. And they're like, wow, do we have the juice? We got the message. We're going to go. And he said, no, don't go anywhere. Wait right here until the Holy Spirit comes. You'll need that. Being excited isn't enough. You'll need that. He tells them to wait. I'm thinking it's 50 days from Easter, but I'm wrong. It's only 10 days because the Ascension Day was on 3940 days, and Pentecost is on how many days? 50 days after the resurrection. So that wait, and you see in Acts as they're gathering together and they're in prayer, ministering, and they're in this, like, maybe like if we could envision like a bed and breakfast, a place where there were more rooms and there was a gathering, that upper room, I'd love to actually see what that is, okay? And it wasn't just, you don't just come and go from places, you live there because they didn't have cars and didn't have whatever, so you kind of stay there. And our mentality is always, we all have our houses with three or four bedrooms and all of this stuff. But in other cultures, often they can be in situations where they live together. Even today, kibbutzes and different things that are in Israel, there's like a common, there's a there's a common, you know, a room, a gathering. You can go to Europe, go on the hikes and the different things that are in Europe, and you stop at homes, and it's a big room with a lot of beds. And it doesn't, men, women, whatever, you get a bed, you get your bed, you stay there for the night, get up, you know, have breakfast, and back on your journey and back on your way. So the believers, after Jesus' resurrection, and they're waiting, they're in this situation where they're together. They're living together, not in a weird way, but I mean they're staying there, they're living together, they're continually in this place in the upper room, ministering to the Lord. We looked at the word supplication, like sounds like this religious word, but actually it's the prayer that you pray that it has, supple means soft, or it yields, like it's not hard, it's soft. And so when we pray prayer blah 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 blah, pray prayers of supplication, we are praying, it's when we start to pray, Jesus, you don't need to change, I need to change. Jesus, you don't need to change the people around me. I was thinking that earlier, but I've changed my mind, and I'm the one that needs to change. Prayers, when you pray to Jesus, you go, I need to change. And I'm praying a prayer that is yielding to you. I want to change. And so this is, they were in one accord. They were gathering together and waiting for this event. Jesus said they didn't know what it was going to look like. And he just said, wait here. It will come. When it came, there comes a big sound. And we looked through this. I don't want to review too much. But there was a sound to it. There was, there are three things that are very key to this, is that they were in one accord, they were gathering in one place, they were one accord, and they were seated. When the Spirit came, they were seated. They were, it speaks of being in a resting position. Do you know that all the things that you receive from God, be careful not to strive after it? Like, even if we're praying for something, and so we're going, I'm praying real hard. What does that look like? That looks like when I'm praying, I have a bad look on my face. Like, God help, you know. And I'm just going to say, be careful with that. Like, you start to think, if I get in the right position, posture, attitude, whatever, I can earn this. I can get God's attention because I'm proving to him, I'm serious about this. I'm serious too. But to come to him as a son, coming in sonship, rather than coming as an orphan and neighbor kid that's trying to get something off the man down the street, he's your father, so you talk to your father differently. You always honor him and respect him, but you know he's got the stuff, he's got what you need, and you go, Dad, I mean, you think this stopped when you're 21 years old, but it doesn't. Hey, Dad, can I borrow this? Can I have that? Hey, I need some money. You know, you approach a parent, a father, because you, with this attitude, you know they have a good father. You know they have what you need, and you ask. And a good father is happy to give and to bless you with good things, right? And this is our father. So no deal making. No negotiating. I catch that. Creeps into my own prayer life. Like, that's not how we do this. That's not how this gets done. You come as a son and you come believing. You want to get a lot from me? Believe that I am, that I have. Believe that I'm good, and you'll probably rob me blind. That's all it takes is, you know, wrap me around your little finger and you can have half of my kingdom. I mean, you can go. It's not very big, but anyways, you could have it, you know. That draws way more from me. Come with an attitude or an expectation or manipulation, like, I back off. We all do. We don't like that. Don't play me. Don't whatever. But if you come and ask in this out of relationship, then wow, how much our Father. Turn with me to Acts 19. And we're going to look at a passage where Paul runs into some believers, some disciples, and he asks them a very unique question. He's in I believe, Greece. He comes to Ephesus at this place. Is it Antioch or Ephesus? He's like north of where Apollos, he says. Well, we'll just read it. That's where the information's at. Get it right, Pastor. Just read it. And it happened in verse 19, verse 1, or chapter 19, verse 1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth, which was south of where Paul was, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So there must be something that prompted that question. And he's a long way from home. Like, this is, you know, Israel's on the end of the Mediterranean Sea, and then up north of that is Turkey, and then it transitions into Greece, and then the next leg of the European continent that comes down is Italy, and Rome's on the other side. So they're a long way from home if you're walking and traveling by donkey, and they're up there. These are Paul's missionary journeys, and Apollos was up there as well, and they're in what was called then Asia. And it's Greece, and that's where they were ministering, and that's where Corinth is there, and these cities that we have names of the book of our Bible out of. They were the people that lived there. And so he's up there, and something, for some reason, he probably perceived or had run into this before, and so he runs into the disciples and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And what was their answer? Very interesting. Like, they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." What's that? And then he asks a very unique question. He says, and he said to them, "Into what then," in verse 3, "were you baptized?" Like, what were you baptized into? Now, this is a really good question for us to think about even today. Number one, a couple questions here. Questions that we need to ask ourselves. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And number two, into what were you baptized? Which indicates that water baptism is maybe a lot more than what we think of it. That there is this definite connection between receiving the Holy Spirit and baptism, and then what you're baptized in. So there's a difference between these disciples. And I took time to relate my life and my journey to come to this place where I'm now a Spirit-filled believer, but in the beginning, I was not. But the Holy Spirit led me. It wasn't like I was absent of that, but there was a marked difference from where I grew. I was dedicated. I knew all the things I was against. I knew how to cut my hair, how to work, you know. I had all the outside stuff. Here's how you do this. It didn't protect from sin. I still was as bad as anybody else. I just was better at hiding it. You have this appearance, okay? And so you begin to, and I was very dedicated, like lots of like resolve. And then at a certain point, I really get serious about it and go to a Christian college. So wow, how do you top that, okay? And so that was, and then it was after that I go, there must be more, and I begin this search. search of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the key verses I ran into, which indicates you can be a disciple, you can be a believer, and not have yet received the Holy Spirit. And I want all of us to reconsider this. I want you all to take a second look. These disciples did, and their response was based on an attitude. They were hungry. This wasn't they didn't argue. Paul didn't even mandate anything from them, but he explains to them, moving on, he says, "Into what were you baptized?" And they say, "Into John's baptism." That's what we were baptized. We were into John's baptism. Now, John had quite a ministry right before Jesus took over. He was baptizing people in water. He was the first real baptizer. And his message was, repent and get baptized for the one who's coming. It was a future. The Son's coming. Nobody knew how soon or whatever. And then John begins to realize he's here. Jesus is here. They were cousins, not very close. And John even at one point questioned, like, he sent his disciples to go talk to Jesus' disciples and say, "Are you really the one? Because you're not acting like the one. You're not living up to my expectation of what the Messiah is supposed to look like. Are you the one? Like, are you going to kick in and take over or what? Are you the Messiah or should we look for somebody else?" John actually did that. So he came into a place where he's questioning, like, "Jesus, are you? I don't know. I thought I knew. My mama told me who you were." Okay? They were cousins. It was like, "You don't look like who I thought you should look like. You're not doing the things I thought you would do." And so they got baptism, John's baptism. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, us, we're like always defending ourselves and prone to argue. Anybody here prone to argue? Prone to defend your experience, even if it's wrong? Yeah, but they were obviously, evidently hungry, and Paul's just presenting the truth, and between the two, they don't even ask, and he doesn't tell them what to do. You just find them, the action, the response is, verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men, who were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened, and so he takes the disciples and leaves that region. But he builds this foundation with them. Then he goes to another region, and he spends time doing what I was talking about last week. We've got to take time, along with the impacts of the Holy Spirit, we've got to build foundation. We've got to lay a foundation for core values and build a culture of what we believe. So that has to be laid. And so for the rest of my ministry, I have a very clear picture of what to build and how to build, where my emphasis needs to go to build this into people. Whether it's a couple or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's like, this is the mission, do this. Because we need that foundation. So we need the impacts of the Spirit. We need these experiences. We also need a foundation so we change our mind. So our mind gets changed, our mind gets renewed, so that we're standing on something solid. Let me read the same passage out of the Passion Translation. And let me get here to Acts 19. And it sheds a little more light on this difference between the baptism of John and the baptism that Paul brought. And I just trust that I'm speaking to people that are hungry, that you're always hungry for getting more, getting all the Lord has for you. If there's something you missed, like, you don't sit and argue about it. You go, "Oh, well, I want that. If I didn't get the upgrade, I want the upgrade. This is an upgrade." I want that. Like, yeah, We don't have to debate about it. We don't have to argue about it. I need more. I'm needy. I'm hungry. Let's go for it. When Apollos was ministering in Corinth, Paul traveled, this is in the Passion Translation, same passage, verse chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey, so that makes it a little more clear. And he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing he asked them was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" "No," they replied, "we've not even heard of a Holy Spirit." Paul asked, "Then what was the meaning of your baptism?" They responded, "It meant that we would follow John's teachings." Paul said, "John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins, and he taught you to believe in and follow the one who was coming after him, Jesus the Anointed One." So that was what it pointed you to. But here it is, you need the upgrade. Jesus has come and I'm preaching his message. You need to get baptized into him. When they understood this, they were baptized into the authority of Jesus, the Anointed One. And when Paul laid his hands on each of them, the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. So, the Holy Spirit not only brought on the day of Pentecost this phenomenal upper room experience that they had, wind and sounds, and a multitude ends up gathering because the multitude hears the sounds. And when they come and hear what to the people, the 120 in the upper room sounded like chaos and people gibbering and babbling, they came, the people from the city, and Ephesus was a very big city, like one of my things I read, like 90,000 people, so it had size to it. And so it was a melting pot from people, for people being from all around, and they came and they like, "You're speaking my language, but you don't know my language, because I know you're from here. I know where you're from. You can't, how are you speaking my language? I hear you speaking my language, and you're praising God, and you're testifying of the good things of God. How are you doing that?" And so it was a phenomenal, it was what sounded like chaos to the disciples was a clear sound to the unbeliever, to those that were around. And we see that even on that day, 3,000 were added to the church. Like it was a phenomenal, like it was really. Paul gets up, or was it Peter that gets up, starts preaching at Pentecost and on this day, and people come. How can we be saved? And so he instructs them and leads them. They come. The Holy Spirit brings gifts. He brings many gifts and multiple gifts. He empowers us. When Paul's writing letters to Timothy, his young leader that he's writing to and watching over, he refers to the gifts that were on him that were received by the laying on of hands from the elders, from the leaders, from the apostles. Like he received the gifts. So this is, it's something that's imparted. The gifts are imparted. The Holy Spirit brings these, but there's a very clear thing about the laying on of hands and this impartation. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he opens up the gateway for all the giftings. And I don't like to be dogmatic about, do you have all the gifts or do you have one gift? You know, I don't like to do that. I don't like to be dogmatic one way or the other. I want to be dogmatic about this. We all need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the package deal. And you should never even consider being a believer without fully embracing the person of the Holy Spirit and receiving all that he has for it. And when he comes, he brings the gifts. And he brings the gifts that are for you. And you may have a predominant gift in the Spirit that you function in. But when I get around anointed people, I even start prophesying. And that's not typically what I do. But I just is there. It's crazy. I just pick it. You pick it up. You get around people that are anointed and healing, and pretty soon you're healing the sick, and that's great. We should. Pretty soon you're emboldened, like there's an anointing to just move forward to do it. And so we need that fellowship. We need that impact. We affect each other. We stir up things in each other. We impart things. So as we have things, receive things, we want to impart them. And you have to come to this place where you stop considering yourself. Like I've been talking about this, I want to keep talking about this. Stop considering yourself. Stop looking at yourself. Stop analyzing yourself. It's not about what you have in yourself. It's about him in you. Don't wake up in the morning thinking about yourself. You just get depressed. Wake up in the morning and start thinking about him. He's good. He's perfect. He's exciting. As quick as you can get a hold of your head, your mind, go to a good place. Phyllis and I, we've been doing this neat thing. We said the other day to each other, let's see who can be the first in the morning to give thanks for, to be thankful. So that's the game we do. Like, as soon as we get started, as soon as we're like, you know, Phyllis wakes up faster than me, so she's going to beat me a lot. But it's like, let's be thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for you. And it just, boom, it just changes everything. This is about getting off of the problems and the heaviness of your day and what you're not and what's ahead of you. Oh, what a day I've got ahead of me. Don't live like that. You can only live one moment at a time in the day and one minute at a time. You can only be one place. I know you think you should be several, but you can only be one place. So how about wherever you're going to be, none of you are by presence, you know, able to be multiple places at one time. How about you just show up and go and wake up and you go, I'm going to be fully present wherever the heck I am. Dave travels around the nation driving truck. Though he'd like to be in Ohio, if he's in Arizona, that's where he's got to be or wherever he goes. Like, he can't be here. He's got to be there. Better be there fully. He's driving a big truck. It becomes dangerous if we're one place, but our head's somewhere else, or our mind's somewhere else. And you'll find that you're never very productive if you're doing one thing, but you're thinking somewhere else. As I keep, I'm still learning music and practicing. We do songs and we do stuff. And I look for the keys. How do I do this well without making mistakes? And I've learned, always be thinking about where you're going. Because the moment I stop thinking about where I'm going next in a song, I make mistakes. And I'm like, what's the key? The key is always look to the next. Always be, don't get lackadaisical. Don't get lazy about this. Focus on where you are and where you're going. Look forward. Don't get gawking around. That's a good way to drive off the road. Pay attention where you are. Be fully where you are and what's coming up next. Look down the road. A good driver doesn't look right in front of their car. You look out, don't you? Have you ever tried to look too close to where you're driving when you're driving? It's weird. It changes. I don't know if you've ever played that game, but I have. You actually need to look out. This is what you can drive well if you look out. If you look too close even to try to scrutinize where you are, right here. If you're driving your lawnmower and you want a straight line across the lawn, pick something out there and focus on that. We did this growing up on the farm and being out in a big open field. And if you wanted to make a straight line, you looked at a tree that was clear across the field. You didn't look at where you were. You look at where you're going. And in our Christianity, so much like that. And living your life, it's about looking forward, looking ahead, looking where you're going. Not worrying about where you're going, but doing, looking that way, looking that direction, living forward. You want to make a mess of your life and stay in a mess? Keep looking back. Just go ahead. Let me know. No, forget it. You don't even need to let me know how it's going to turn out. I already know that. You'll be running off the road and making all kinds of messes, and you had a mess back there. Now you've got three right here. How'd that happen? Well, We must have this forward and the Holy Spirit coming, and it gives us gifts and enables us to live life and live up and keep our eyes up and keep and he comes with this gift. We've paid a price to get to the place where we honor the gifts. What a tragedy. The Holy Spirit is not real. He's not aggressive in the sense. He nudges you. He speaks to you. He gives you. How often have you been like, you know, that came to mind. I knew to pick that up. I knew to call you. And then someone talks to you like they were really, and you're like, you know what? I knew. You came to my mind yesterday. And then I just kept moving because, well, we always have other things to do. And we go, oh, that's silly. I'm not going to call them right now. They're at work. You find out the next day, they weren't at work. They were somewhere where they could have used a phone call. It's about the Holy Spirit would love to direct you and direct your path and nudge you and give you warnings about things. And when we get in this mode where we're not paying attention, do you know what happens next time? He just steps back. We're cautioned in the scriptures about grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. So as we approach this, like we've marked a day, this day of Pentecost, like it can be any day, but the point is, just like with Christmas, we celebrate Emmanuel. We celebrate Jesus coming to earth and being born. At Easter, we celebrate his resurrection. And then maybe 40 days later, we're supposed to celebrate ascension. And I go, wow, never put the math together. So these disciples only had to wait 10 days. That's what I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, that's doable. Like, wait, and we only had to wait 10 days. We're always complaining about how long we have to wait for something. It may not be very long. It was only 10 days from when he ascended to the Holy Spirit coming. Like, wow, that's just enough time to get ready. That's just enough time to get ready. That's just enough time to get your heart ready. That's just enough time to get focused and get all the other stuff off the table and go, you're coming. We have a word of your promise. You're coming. You're going to impact us. And life's not going to be the same. We're excited, but our human zeal won't get us very far. We need the anointing, the unction from the Holy One. And then when he comes, we want to honor him. We want to hold him dear. Bill Johnson always gives the illustration of walking with a dove on your shoulder. You want to guard the presence of the Lord being on you and with you, then walk like there's a dove on your shoulder. Be aware, be conscious. You walk differently when there's something. You're carrying something, you don't want to spill it. So all of a sudden you're carrying a glass of water that's full, a cup of coffee, and now you're careful. You walk differently, don't you? Because you don't want to spill it. And so to live a life of being conscious of honoring the Spirit and giving him more and more access. And if we posture ourselves, what a difference it makes. And I'm really hammering this. You know, Phyllis was the one that really kind of, she spoke this about Pentecost, and we often blow through it and don't pay any attention to it. And she's like, we need to pay attention. And then I began to pay attention, which is always a good thing. Hey, Pastor, catch up with the program. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot to this. We've emphasized that we've paid a price to be here, to believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that it's not done away with. How much, why would he do that? We need him more than ever. And we need the empowering. I want to grow in that. I want to be a vessel where he's welcome. I want to be a body where he's welcome, where he's flowing through us. This is the hope of us changing. We must stop looking at ourselves in the way of how am I going to fix myself? How am I going to do better? And from day to day in the ministry, like I'm getting more peaceful as I think less about myself and realize like my declaration, even for next week, what I desire, and I got fearful of even talking about it. Like, no, I don't want to set false expectations. I would love to see us as a church get radically impacted by the Spirit, by the presence. That's what I would like to see. I'd like to see that us just get wrecked with his presence. And that's what I'd like to see. So I'm going to declare that. I don't know what next week will look like. We're not going to manufacture anything, but we've set our sights on something, and we're preaching, speaking about it, and declaring it. Who knows what the Lord will do? Well, it's more of his Spirit that transforms us. when you're really in his presence, the problems go away. They really do. They drop off. You go, oh, that's nothing. Those are just bills. Phyllis is talking about releasing the testimony, and in one of the stories that we brought forth, and this couple that released that. No, it was another couple. It was that the minute. I've listened to too many teachings. Can't separate them. Let's say it was Dave and his wife, and they. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but there's another thing I heard. I think it was Libby Gordon and her husband. I'm sorry. That's all right. And she's saying this as they're trusting the Lord. They're in the ministry and training, just getting started, and dollars matter. And they have their last $50. I'm sure they need a lot more. And they take their $50 and they give it to the Lord. The Lord, here's our last $50, and you know how to spend it better than I know how to spend it. Oh, that's trust. That's big. But you need to know that you're supposed to do that. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying this is that thing where you're in absolute need of the Lord to provide for you and make a way. And so it's not about saving $50. It's about, you know what? This is all we have. It's not near enough for what we need, for what's coming up. So we're going to give this to you. We're going to sow it. And Lord, you do what you'll do. And of course, they're very prosperous and doing well today. So it's that thing where you start following the Spirit. Like, it's really important. I don't like formulas, especially Christian formulas. I want Spirit-led. I want to be a believer. I want to be baptized into the baptism of Jesus. Like, that's the one I want to tap into. I had the other one. It really shows the differentiation between my life before the Spirit and my life after. And in the baptism of Jesus, this is where the authority comes. Like, it's not who's going to come. It's who has come. Who is come, and now I'm a son. I get baptized into that, and now what I do, I have authority to do. Like, there's an authority mixed with it. There's an authority. And I want to grow in that authority, and I want that authority to grow in me because I'm a son. I'm not the hired slave. I'm not the neighbor boy. I'm a son. I belong to his household, and I carry that, and he's given me what I need. I need the Holy Spirit, and I just need to yield to the Spirit. And the more I yield, the more I believe he'll speak, the more he'll come, the more he'll use me. And what he comes with is gifts, and he comes with anointings. And so we're people. We've paid a price to have this. Let's go for it. We paid the rent. It's our place. We get to do what we want to do, you know, that kind of thing. And why not use this? And so I always talk about the outreach that Kurt and Pam lead. And we take this to the street, and it's awesome. People, how they receive, when you just go for it. Just use the gifts of the Spirit and minister to them. They do not have a religious attitude about them. They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, pray for me. Speak good words over me. I'm good. I'll take them. It's crazy. You go, yeah, here we are in church. We're just like, I don't know. I need to judge that. I need to whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, pour it on. You want to bless me? Oh, yeah, bless me. Bless my socks off, you know? We're like, Like, we need to get back to just living carefree and living and exercising this and treasuring this precious one that was sent and has come. And somehow, I'm not going to try to analyze this, but the very baptism, if you get baptized in Jesus' name, that baptism is very connected to the Holy Spirit. There was a reason Paul asked that question. Well, then what were you baptized into? Which is an indication, an application that even baptism itself was to be a very connected thing with the Holy Spirit. Coming, filling us, empowering us. Living a life that's Spirit-filled. You can tell a person who has not yet received the Spirit, even though they're disciples, even though they're believers. You'd think that couldn't exist, but it does. I was one of those. What a difference in the depth of revelation, of understanding. It's a whole different transition. And so we want to ask ourselves this question: into what was I baptized? Was I baptized into the fullness of what the Lord has? Or am I just a dedicated, like, I'm going to join the organization, the religious organization? We want to be baptized into something so that the Spirit is in us, leading us. And we're following, we're in tune with that thing, not just trying to catch up with some rules about being a part of the organization. But in this baptism, the Spirit's in you. And in 1 John, it even goes to the extent of saying, you don't need a man to teach you. And I love teachers, so it's not about that. But you have the unction. You have the Holy Spirit teaches you. It gives you revelation. It speaks and imparts and impacts you. And so it's that thing. It's that we want. We want that to be led by Him. We want to make a place for Him. And then honor. What would your life look like, and I'm calling you to do this, make a decision to honor the Spirit that was given. If you've received Him, and if you have not, I'll invite you, go after it with all your heart. Don't sit there and argue about what you have or don't have. Go, I need that. I need more. So those of you that have received a lot, and it's time for you to start imparting what you have received. And there are those of you that have actually not received yet. I mean, even your salvation, if it's not on a good foundation, then it's all about you. And you don't really have a Savior. You still need a Savior because you just tried to join the club. Bless your heart. I get it. I know how it can get that way. So there's a real call. Are you really born in the Spirit? If you're truly born again, I don't have to tell you that you are. You know that. If you've really received the Holy Spirit, I don't have to tell you whether you did or not. You know. If you don't know, you probably haven't received what there is to receive. If you don't know that you're born again, that you probably haven't really tapped into salvation. You may be dedicated. You may be, it may be the baptism of John. Like, hey, I need to clean up my act. People do that. Like, I need to change some things. Okay, that's good, but there's more. There's a real salvation experience that transforms you to the point that what old things are passed away, new things have come. It's a new day with a new life. It's a new day with a new Spirit. It's a new day with a real Jesus inside of you. On that He calls me, He speaks to me, He leads me. And the repentance that we do is to repent from our stubbornness and our independence. Like, ditch that thing, I'll do it myself. Just get rid of that. Just check it at the door. It's going to mess up your life. You can afford to come to this, to all the Lord has for you with that attitude. I'll do it myself. I'll get it myself. I'll fix myself. Then I'll come. Then I'll start coming to church. Oh, Lord. Most tragic thing you can do, isn't it? Like, when you ask people, hey, you want to come to church? You want to come? Often that's the expression, well, you know, there's that feeling. I need to get cleaned up first. Come as you are. Don't stay as you are, but come as you are. Let Him transform you. Give Jesus a chance. Just come and be seated. And let the Holy Spirit change you, transform you. That's the message we have. That's the good news we have. Let the Holy Spirit fall on you. Sit still long enough where the fire comes, and it says in Acts, it as tongues of fire, it looked like that is the only way they knew to describe it, and it rested on each of them. Bong, 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 bong. Because he needs to rest on each of us We all need this, not just the leader, not just the good people, not the people that think they belong, but we all need him. We need him to rest on us. Stop fighting and kicking against this. This is the greatest joy. Do you realize what our message is? Our message is the liberty and freedom from all the things you want to be freedom from. All you want to be released from, all that you want to be released from. This is the way. This is the road trip to that liberty, to that joy, to that being that person you really would like to be, to being that person that's able to dream. Get free from your stuff and you'll be able to dream again. And your life will uniquely look like what Jesus created you to be. We have hopes and promises. We have gifts and callings. And if that gets, I want to see that just really get activated in our body. For many different reasons. Some of you, for what you've had, you've become discouraged and you've backed off, or you're living in this disappointment. Like, that needs to cast off. That needs to go away. That doesn't need to be on any of us. You're the vibrancy of your life right now, right where you are, the age you are, the situations you're in. Nothing needs to hinder what the Lord has for us. It's a new day. Old things can be passed away. Get a fresh start. And if you start fresh today, if you get a real start, the past truly won't matter. And the opportunity for all good things are accessible to us. You start making declarations. You start talking like Jesus, Father is your Father and Jesus is your Savior. And all things become possible. All things become possible. And that's the people that we want to be. Let's take some time to just pray today. Gary, you could put on some worship music. Some Get Anointed music. Do you have any Get Anointed music? Receive the Anointing. Receive the Spirit music. Someday I'm going to get some playlists put together for back there. It's on my to-do list. Now listen, this is serious, and it always begins with you responding. Just don't argue. Don't be full of yourself. Like, just set that aside. Just respond. These questions that showed up in the scripture, especially this predominant one today out of Acts 19. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received? Do you have that? Does your experience of what the Holy Spirit looks like, do you have that? You're the only one that can answer that. It begins with you going, no, I need more. And just that simple, no, I want what he has for me. I've been trying to go this alone. I've been trying to do everything. He was sent. Jesus even told his disciples, this is so big. Don't go anywhere till you receive this. Don't go anywhere till you receive this. It's not well, it's not good for you to go till you receive what you need, because you need this. This is what will impact you. This will get deep. So just simple invitation today. And I'm going to be faithful to pray more, because I hold back too, even as a leader. I get this in my mind that I can't impart things. I mean, here, true confessions. And so I play it safe and I hang back way too much. So even for me today, I want to just in faith impart and pray. I've received a ton. But I look to myself and I go, I'm not good at giving it. Like, where did I come up with that? It's not about me giving it. It's about it being in me, the Holy Spirit being in me. It's about anointings coming, and this is true of many of you as well. And so I'm just imparting what's in me that I didn't deserve in the first place. Yeah? And so we just want to impart. Go for it. Do your part. Make sure that when the day's over, I did my part, Lord. I obeyed you. I stepped out. I took risks. I made a fool of myself. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's not about me. Let's get beyond that. Let's become a people that are just fully more and more and more aware of Him and aware of Him in us. And that's nothing to be boastful. That's not about boastful. That's not about anything to be boastful about. That's about trusting in the one that called us. So let's just take some time. If you want prayer today, if you need more, if you need to get solid about whether you belong to Jesus, do that. Don't mess around with where you've come from and I was this and I was that. Just forget it. You either know you're there or you know there's a need. So let's just take time. Father, in Jesus' name, we'll just ask. Help us to be over ourselves. Help us to, we just want to come to a place to give you all and to make ourselves available to all that you have for us. Nothing lacking. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. What do you have for us today? All that you have. I want all that you have. Just want all that you have, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else, just if you have any nudge at all, just come.